Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pulido and Josh Jordan. Read their work on sportstap.com. Follow them on X at Pulido and at JoshJordan975. Guys, ugly victory, but win is a win. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Titus Howard, all inactive. Nico goes down early with a hammy in the first. Jimmy Ward goes out with a groin in the second. This was a tale of two halves. Houston jumps out in Buffalo early, takes a 17-3 lead into the half. No penalties, some big plays. But with Nico going down, you had to hope the lead was enough of a buffer. They needed the defense to be able to come up and make a couple of big stops down the stretch. They lean on that big leg of Kyme Fairbairn to kick a knuckle curve down for the victory. Charlie, you had the closest in predictions. You had 24-20 going the other way. We all picked the Bills in this game. But how big was this victory for Houston, considering what this team was having to overcome with no Mixon, no Titus Howard, no Nico for three quarters, not to mention with the Jags taking down the Colts today, putting Andy at 2-3? How big of a victory was this, guys?
It's one of the best regular season wins in their history. I mean, it doesn't carry the direct import of winning at Indianapolis last season to clinch the division playoff spot with it. But Buffalo's a good team, a very good team, a contending team. And you covered the Texans' losses. Now, the Bills were down multiple important players also. Josh Allen goes 9-for-30. Look, Shakir's not Randy Moss, but I doubt he goes 9-for-30 if he has his number one wide receiver. Defensively, they're down their nickel corner. They're down a safety. They're down Ed Oliver. They're down Von Miller. But you play with who you have to play. And so I don't call it an ugly win, although it had ugly elements. Who knows when playoff tiebreakers come to play and the Bills are having to come back to Houston in the divisional round as opposed to the Texans having to go to Buffalo in January, now having a win over them and being a game up on them. So it's like being two games ahead of the Bills in the standings. Rocky IV, the Russian is cut. CJ Stroud, two terrible turnovers, underthrown ball for an interception. And it can be tough in the pocket, but when you're surrounded by traffic, he had that ball a little loose. He didn't have it gripped or tucked away. Massive defensive stop with the Bills a short field there to hold them to a field goal. And so it's just an outstanding, outstanding win for the Texans.
Yeah, I echo those thoughts. Great win. Nice to beat a really quality quarterback. We were saying last week, like, hey, if they play like this against the Bills, you know, Josh Allen isn't Trevor Lawrence. He's going to beat you. And sure enough, Josh Allen wasn't able to beat him. Yeah, he was down Shakir, but you know, they were able to run the ball really well on the Texans. The Texans still really struggling with running the ball. It's kind of CJ or nothing, but great win. I'm just so happy that even when CJ has some mistakes, they were still able to hold on and win the game. Part of that was, I don't know, Bobby Slowick and the Bills with some really terrible play calling at the end of the game. It was almost like they were trying to give the game to the other team. I mean, especially with the Bills throwing the ball three times in a row there, deep in their own territory and giving the Texans enough time to come back and win, that really questionable decisions on that side. And then I look with the Texans too, they, on that last drive, when they eventually had to punt, you know, a terrible run for a loss and then a screen pass that didn't work and then intentional grounding. And you have to, I mean, it was a really strange ending to that game, but I'm just glad the Texans came away with the dub.
I'm sure in Buffalo, Sean McDermott is being clobbered for the Bills' late-game clock management, and he should be. Josh, it wasn't questionable play calling and clock management. It was lousy, crappy, or stronger words. I know it's the internet, but we're a little classier than that, or we'd like to think so anyway. They could have run the ball three times, made the Texans use their three timeouts, and then the Texans can't run a play to trim the field goal distance from 64 yards to 59 yards. Maybe Super Toe Fairbairn knocks it through from 64, though the way he hit that 59-yarder, you'd probably bet against it. But that's now 8 field goals, 5 games into the season of 50-plus for Fairbairn with 2 in this game. Ogunbowale didn't run the ball effectively, 15 carries for 30 yards, but multiple significant plays in the passing game. Yeah, he dropped one in the flat on that ill-fated drive that ended with the grounding call, but even just the little dump-off to get those 5 yards there. The first half was pretty much just magnificent. You factor in losing Nico Collins after the bomb touchdown play, and how are the Texans going to attack downfield? They didn't even take a shot downfield with Tank Dell in this game. That's something that needs not to be forgotten, that he is the speed threat in this offense. But the Texans, an undisciplined, penalty-plagued mess too often, despite being 3-1. Zero penalties in the first half. And then it seemed like they were trying to make up for it in the second half. Six penalties in the third quarter. I mean, CJ Stroud was harried, so whether he just lost his wits momentarily that, hey, you got to get out of the tackle box and the pass has to reach the line of scrimmage. Grounding was the right call there. But in the end, a high-quality win over a fellow AFC contender. Never assume going to New England, but the Texans certainly should be looking at 5-1 when they're heading to Lambeau Field in 2 weeks.
Gents, this was not a clean game by CJ Stroud. You alluded to it. 331 yards through the air on 28 of 38 passing attempts, 27 yards rushing, one touchdown, but had a bad interception, a strip fumble deep in Houston territory, and a bad intentional grounding call that pushed Houston out of field goal territory on their second to last possession. Your thoughts on CJ Stroud?
It's going to happen. I mean, you can't play a clean game or an ideal game every week, and the CJ bar is so high because of what he's already accomplished in his career. But Josh Allen completed 9 for 30 in this game. And, you know, it doesn't go down as a turnover. But a couple times now, we've seen Kalen Bullock badly beaten deep for what should be a touchdown. And Josh Allen missed Mack Hollins. He later missed Holland. Josh Allen, I thought, was terrible in the first half. Just scatter-armed, missing multiple receivers. He had Hollins in the middle of the field on a rollout left on a third down, which would have been a big gainer, and Allen bounced that throw. So, yeah, Stroud with the two turnovers and the intentional grounding could have cost him the game with the fumble. The Bills go in and score there, but it didn't. So if that which does not kill you makes you stronger, learning experience for CJ Stroud and victory, you take that over one in defeat.
Yeah, still over 300 yards for CJ. He lost his big weapon. And I kind of worry about that going forward with Nico. You know, how long is he going to be out with this hamstring? It's good that you are playing the Patriots next week. Maybe he can rest it up a little bit. But CJ had to adjust. And we thought this was going to be a big kind of revenge game. Stephon Diggs playing his former team. And, you know, CJ got him the ball, you know, a fair amount, but it wasn't a huge performance. Diggs finished with 6 catches for 82 yards, no touchdown. So it was good, not great. I think my other takeaway, kind of Charlie mentioned it too, Tank Dell, 4 for 38 with Nico missing most of the game. And Dell is still not really a big part of this passing game. So I'd like to see them get him going a little bit. I think that'll take some pressure off of CJ. And the ground game, guys, I think we've seen a big enough sample size. They just can't run the ball. I mean, it's bad. And I don't know if there's any answers there. But hopefully when Mixon comes back, but it can't be all Mixon. There's just not a lot of room to run. And Bobby Slowick's determination to try and seemingly run the ball on first down over and over again when there's nothing there. We talked about this last week that so often it's third and long and you're like, oh, CJ, come save us because we put ourselves behind the sticks. And the penalties, too, that Charlie alluded to, it looked beautiful in the first half. And then they tried to give it all back in the third quarter, just shooting themselves in the foot, killing drives over and over again. So, you know, it's one of those don't ignore it, you know, in victory, what you wouldn't in defeat, or, you know, whatever that phrase is. They got to get this, you know, continue to work on the penalties, continue to get a run game. But if it's not working, try some other stuff, because CJ's not going to be able to do this every week. He is just a person. He's not a superhero, and he's having to do a lot of heavy lifting on his own there.
Cam Akers had a 15-yard run. That's nice for one run, but it's now 5 games into the season. The Texans still do not have a 20-yard rush. I don't know if they're the only team in the league, maybe Carolina, but that's a pretty inept statistic with their run game. I would say that I guess some credit. I mean, I don't have a grade for them, but at least Blake Fisher didn't stick out like a lousy sore thumb, filling in at right tackle for Titus Howard after a week ago for Fisher. It was a pretty rugged debut, filling in for a little bit as Laremy Tunsil had the ankle problem. It's just not an offensive line that shoves people off the ball. They do not have any electric backs, right? Mixon, when there, he's more of a plotter, a steady guy, lean forward, fall forward, get you positive yardage, but not a lot of burst. So it's just something the Texans basically are going to have to overcome. And again, don't assume at New England, but boy, Nico Collins, I guess if he's going to miss one game on the schedule, maybe you'd pick the Patriots, if not the second game with the Jaguars. But if that turns out to be a 4-week injury, that's a real blow with that Green Bay, the rematch with the Colts to come in 3 weeks. And Nico Collins, a top 5 wideout in the NFL. If nothing else, it probably already kills off a shot at 2,000 yards receiving this season.
Yeah, on the ground, Akers goes for 42 yards at 4.7 yards per carry. Dari gets 30 yards, although just 2 yards per carry. That's terrible. Then Stroud with 27 yards. Bills outrush Texans 150-94. Defense holds Buffalo, though, to 3 of 14 on third down conversions. As bad as Allen was, his receivers were not picking him up much today. Bills come into this game averaging 31 points, held to just 20. I think it started with pressure on Allen. Just one sack, but Allen only 9 of 30 through the air for 131 yards, as we said. What did you see out of Houston's defense that allowed the Texans to eke out this win?
Well, you hit on it. I mean, they made Allen move around a lot. And, of course, other than Lamar Jackson, who's a better playmaker with his legs at quarterback in the NFL than Josh Allen, answer, nobody. But whether he was rendered inaccurate from having to throw some balls on the move or just his timing was thrown off, and again, without his number one wide receiver, that certainly aided the Texans' cause. You're not always going to amass big sack numbers. Danielle Hunter specifically chasing Allen a couple of times. Will Anderson did not strike me as very prominent in the game, but if he's drawing extra blocking and freeing up opportunities for others, and one big sack from Jalen Petrie as D'Amico dialed up a blitz and didn't seem particularly exotic. He came from the edge, was completely unblocked, and that killed off a Bills drive. And the play that Allen got hurt, right? It's Mario Edwards getting to him there. Allen only missed one play, but I mean, it ended a drive for Buffalo. And in the end, you hold the Bills to just 20 points. You call that a defensive victory.
Yeah, no doubt. And I saw this on Josh Allen. This is ESPN Stats and Info. Josh Allen recorded the lowest completion percentage, 30%, in a game with at least 30 pass attempts in the last 30 seasons. So this was a really big outlier. So clearly the Texans did a good job. Not a lot of sacks, but they were hurrying him, especially the whole first half. And I mean, I have to point out, this game probably shouldn't have been as close as it was. Fourth down, Lassiter has that missed tackle there on Coleman, and then he takes off all the way down for a touchdown after that. Kind of looked like he may have stepped out of bounds. It was really close, but I guess he didn't. That was a big one. Robert Woods fielding that punt, like the 2 yard line. I mean, there was just a lot of things where it's like, come on, guys, it didn't have to be this hard. But the Texans kind of find ways to make things more difficult on themselves every week. But in the end, they're able to get through it most of the time and come away with the win. So sitting at 4-1, can't be complaining about that too much.
Yeah, Steven Sims benched and deactivated for his punt return follies so far this season. Woods, he fielded multiples. And I do think it generally now is in the NFL, the axiom used to be inside the 10, let it bounce. Now it seems more to be, 7-8 yard line, just catch it and we'll work from there. Inside the 5, you never catch it. So Robert Woods actually did it twice in the game. The second one could have been really calamitous, but in the end, all's well that ends well.
True. He did have some, we'll call them brain farts there, but then he also did have the big run back on the final possession, runs it back to the 47, which allows Houston to be able to get that one passing play that gets them 5 yard closer. Then Fairbairn gets the kick and the game winner. Also, Houston has struggled with, the mobile quarterbacks throughout the year. I thought they did a good job of having Al Shire be the spy on Allen to keep him mostly honest from running plays. So I thought that was good. Gents, that brings us to, who's your MVP of this game?
Seems too easy, but a guy makes a 59-yard field goal at the gun. I don't care if it's climate controlled indoors. The only thing that would have made it more spectacular was if the Texans had been down a point. And it's a make it or lose proposition, right? He misses, you go into overtime and still have another opportunity. But maybe, it's the player of the game and not the season. But I'm not going to completely ignore the fact that Fairbairn has been fabulous so far this season. Mentioned that's 8 from 50 plus, a 50-yarder. And then a game-winning 59-yarder, good enough for me to go with Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah, he feels like the obvious answer there. Just to be different, I'll just say, Stephon Diggs, they had to lean on him today. He did the best out of all the Texans receivers. It's funny, though, Nico with 2 catches at 78 yards. Yeah. And then Diggs finishes with 82 on 6. So it just shows you what a difference Nico Collins makes on the field. But Diggs getting the win against his former team, I'll give it to him.
I will go with Nico because I thought those two receptions for 78 yards puts them up early, gives them a buffer that in his absence they were able to hold on to. They just needed three more points to be able to ice that victory away. So I will go with him because he made it look really easy. Even when he pulled up lame, still had plenty of green grass to be able to get to the end zone, even hobbled as he was. So I will go with him. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We will be back to preview Patriots-Texans for next week, so make sure you're watching out for that. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon. Thanks for watching this afternoon. As always, go Texans.